A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm John Norman and alongside Jared Kimber, bringing you immediate reaction following play every time England play. And there's plenty to go at today. Stuart Broad with all 6 wickets to fall. Shane Dowrich might get a mention. And who's this De Silva guy? You're listening to Following On. So thanks for listening to the Following On podcast with myself and Jared Kimber. If you're listening, well, by now, you undoubtedly know that England are, as they were, on top in this test match. The West Indies in second innings closing at 10 for 2. Stuart Broad with both wickets in the evening and all 4 wickets in the morning. Yes, West Indies did get past the follow-on target thanks to a decent 68-run partnership between Holder and Dowrich, but that was as good as it got. England, when they batted, racked up the runs. Another 100-run partnership at the top of the order. Well, I say another one. It's the first in 4 years, but hey, forgive me. Sibley, first out for 56. Burns, last out for 90. Root, 68 not out. But really, despite being set 399 runs to win and possibly day 4 ruled out by rain, West Indies really, really up against it.
Story of the day.
Hey, remember when we started this podcast during the Ashes and we had player of the day? And after about 2 tests, it became really evident that player of the day was essentially going to be Steve Smith unless he wasn't batting. And even then, it was sometimes Steve Smith. Well, today's player of the day, if we still did that, would be Stuart Broad, as it was yesterday. And I suppose the story of the day, apart from the fact that West Indies are literally falling to pieces, is that Stuart Broad did it with the bat yesterday, did it with the ball today. All 6 wickets to fall across both West Indies innings.
Yeah, and at one stage I was thinking that perhaps it was a good thing that there weren't a lot of West Indian cricket writers out there, you know, covering this test, because some of them would have had to field. Stuart Broad stood up in a way that was as diametrically opposed to what West Indies did as is physically possible. I mean, the last 2 tests, a very physical representation of that is obviously what happened to Dowrich, and I'm sure he'll come up again later. But Broad, he's angry, he's focused, he's in conditions that suit him. I mean, this is the thing. It might have been George Dobell wrote the piece about, look at England's bowling attack. It's, you know, so much talent in this bowling attack. And he's right, of course. But this is kind of what we do as a cricket fan. We go, look at how good we are when we play at home. And we know that Stuart Broad is not going to be that good when he goes away, because he never has been. Although, to be fair, he's not as bad as Wokes or Anderson. As an Australian, I feel like I am the world's expert in what it is to look at your team do really well at home and pump them up to such a point. And then when they go away, just go, well, you can't expect them to do well. That's away from home. And I feel that that is what is happening here against a very poor batting lineup. Stuart Broad is fired up. He's rested probably for the first time in his life. He was even extra rested, and he's bowling brilliantly as he quite often does. I think one of the good things for him is he's taking wickets against right-handers. There was a little while there where he was really starting to struggle against right-handers. You know, that the wrist thing that has made him unplayable against left-handers. He wasn't taking as many wickets against right-handers. That's a huge problem because, I don't know if you know, there's more of them than there is left-handers in the wild and in batting. So I think that could have been a bit of a problem. So everything's come together, but you know, none of this really changes the reason that he was dropped in the first place. And if anything, it just makes it more fun to me as a neutral, probably less fun as an England fan, who's just like, we just want to know, man. We just want to know what our best bowling attack is for everywhere.
I think variety is the spice of life, and I think
it
variety...
is not. I've never heard anyone say that before.
And I also think it's key to your bowling lineups. I think Stuart Broad, if he's bowling alongside a good leg spinner, a really good fast bowler, and maybe a left armer, and Ben Stokes bowling with the old ball, is going to be a much different prospect overseas than if he's bowling with 15 other medium fast right arm bowlers. But anyway, that's a discussion for another day. I'd love to see the look on Stuart Broad's face when he next sees Ed Smith.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's by the by. We were speaking yesterday about, well, I was doing a little rant. Well, we used to do rant of the day as well. I was doing a little rant about there's nothing I hate more in cricket than irrelevant runs. Well, I was wrong. There's something worse than irrelevant runs. There's really slow irrelevant runs. And that's what we had today for a long, long time. But what made me smile inwardly is that we know, we don't need to mention any names, but we know that there would have been some people within the press box absolutely incandescent with rage this morning when Joe Root threw the ball. Jofra Archer, understandably, after what happened with Darricks yesterday. But Chris Wokes, I mean, come on. That follow on target, you could still believe that Joe Root would have enforced a follow on. And what, just to rub salt into the wound, after West Indies had cantered past the follow on target, Stuart Broad then comes on with Jimmy Anderson, and those last four wickets just fall in a blink of an eye. And all those people that were just praying that the cricket would be over, and understandably so, because they've been in a lockdown bubble for 3 weeks, there would have been a few curse words, a little bit of frustration that would have been magnified when 30 overs later, Dominic Sibley was outscoring Rory Burns and England had only added about 75 runs.
I love the idea that Joe Root actually picked the bowling lineup the least likely to take the wickets so that he wouldn't have to have a conversation about why he didn't enforce the follow-on. But that's for another. I mean, who knows? That, I don't know if that happened or not, but I love the fact that it could have happened.
Moment of the day.
Well, there's no doubt in my mind what moment of the day. Well, maybe if Stuart Broad had taken one more wicket, then that would have been wicket number 500. But I know that you don't really go into all that. That you get a bit annoyed by random kind of like celebrations around statistical milestones. But, you know, we spoke a lot yesterday about our man Shane. The thing is, the moment of the day for me wasn't even... I don't know how seriously he's injured, by the way. So hopefully he's not particularly badly injured.
They didn't take him away, did they? They kept him at the ground, so you assume that means he's okay.
Exactly. So let's assume he's okay, right? For me, the moment of the day wasn't him getting smashed in the face after, you know, not dealing properly with the delivery from Shannon Gabriel, the ball bursting through his gloves. It was the camera panning to him as the players made their way out after tea. And he was just looking out the window, a bit like Joey from Friends in one of those episodes. It was just like a really mournful dog whose owner had just, you know, or cat, whose owner had left to go to work for the day. And I just thought, Shane, you really should be getting out there on the field and keeping wicket. I'm sure you're really badly injured, but come on, Shane, you've got to get back out on the field.
Let's do the anatomy of what happened here for a minute. There are wicket-keeping injuries that happen because the ball has kept low. There are wicket-keeping injuries that happen because you're up at the stumps. We kind of expect those, and there's not a lot that a wicket-keeper can do. You know, if the ball keeps low and it takes another bounce in front of you, you know, it's not a pitch, so it's not going to react normally. This was literally right in front of his eyeballs. I've only ever seen one other wicket-keeper do this. I saw AB de Villiers do it once. I mean, top-level international wicket-keepers don't really miss the ones right in front of their eyeballs. That's They're the easy ones. It's actually very hard to not catch a ball coming directly at your face because your basic hand-eye reflexes protect your face. That's what they're for. You know, it's basically your hands are for holding onto a branch because we evolved from monkeys. And when a rival gang throws a rock at your face, protecting your face, right? So it's gone straight through. And then you've got the great moment afterwards where you cannot not feel sorry for him. Because after all the other stuff-ups, he doesn't want to show pain. But quite clearly, he has been banged at 90 miles an hour right on the lip, and it is killing him. I thought it knocked his tooth out at first. The next scene I expected was Jason Holder on his hands and knees, 6'8" of him, looking for his mate's tooth, right? It's so horrible. And then he's walking off the field, pretending it doesn't hurt. Well, he's bleeding from the face at this point, and it clearly is killing him. And then to make it all more the West Indies of the last two tests, De Silva comes out. Everyone's talking up De Silva. Oh, this guy could be incredible. He almost got himself into the team. We love De Silva. De Silva gets a stumping chance, and he slips on his bum and misses the stump. It was just, I mean, yes, we hope Shane Dowrich is okay, but what a farcical moment where you're just like, okay, we're done here. We don't need follow-ons. We don't need declarations. The West Indies have 3 fit men, from what I can tell, and none of them want to be out there anymore. They gave it a good red-hot go. They won the first test. Everything was in their favour. Sometimes, you know, on these sorts of tours. And this is a longer tour than West Indians usually go on. Let's not forget that. They don't usually do the big warm-up, and they usually get to go out and enjoy their life. They are trapped in this terrible Truman Show of Steve Elworthy's making that they can't get out of.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Shot of the day.
It wasn't a golden day for stroke play with Dominic Sibley and Rory Burns at the crease of much of it. Joe Root, touch of class there. But my shot of the day was actually Will Jacks, because I've been at the Oval all day today. Only rights holders can get into the cricket, so I'm covering the series for TalkSport from studios. But with the two-day friendly taking place and the fans back at the Oval, I begged my way into the ground. And Will Jacks, who, a little bit like Ollie Pope, very different batsman, just seems to have a little bit of quality about him. He screamed a beautiful cover drive, first scoring shot of the day, and hit 60-odd. So that's my shot of the day. What about yours?
I wasn't at the Oval, so I'll go with the game that we're talking about, oddly. There was a pool shot that Joe Root played towards the end of the day when they had this weird leg-side dominant field, and it was all made not to make him score. And he moved back in the crease, moved across a little bit towards off stump, and just nailed it. And I was just like, I mean, how this man is not one of the best T20 players in the world, I don't know, because he can basically do everything with a bat. So that was my shot of the day. Jason Holder played a very good straight drive early on too. I think it's worth mentioning. I think all Jason Holder drives look better because of the elongated nature of Jason Holder. I always felt the same with Tom Moody. If Tom Moody played a drive, you'd be like, yeah, that looks good. And then afterwards you go, would it have looked good if he was 5'8"? I don't know.
Jason Holder's so tall, when he holds the pose and you're sitting in the pavilion, you can touch the end of the bat.
Oh, let's just do Jason Holder so tall jokes for the rest of the episode. Do you like my really modern reference of Tom Moody, who no one has seen back since, what, 99? Anyway, I am old, but to all that, was it Warwickshire? Did he play for Warwickshire?
Well, in fairness, the average age of cricket fans is, as we know, about 57. So, you know, that is absolutely our demographic.
They're all nodding along. Yeah, Tom Moody, that's a good reference. Good call. I was thinking about him last week.
Yeah, last week they were, what's a podcast? Now they're nodding in appreciation at your Tom Moody reference.
Ball of the day.
Well, without doubt, it's got to be that back of a length delivery from Shannon Gabriel, which Rory Burns swerved out the way of. And, you know, even though he saw it from hand, past batsman, completely sighted all the way, obviously Darwin still didn't manage to catch it. There were some great deliveries. You were made mention yesterday of you were celebrating the last 20 innings from Campbell. You're absolutely right, because he was out for a duck today. But there's not much you can do. It's almost like Stuart Broad against left-handers has kind of finished cricket. He's like, he's got the cheat code. And, you know, I wonder where cricket will be in about 30 years' time, when essentially they will just run an algorithm and they'll know exactly where to bowl to every single batsman. And all you have to do is just get someone to bowl it consistently there, and that's it.
So that's
up there for ball of the day.
I'm going to go with Rakeem Cornwall. He hasn't bowled as well in this match as he can. I think he's probably disappointed himself a little bit, I think, if we're being honest. But there was one ball where you just went, well, I mean, if he bowls like that, he's unplayable. It was one that cut back spun back a mile and bounced over leg stump, and De Silva missed it as well. And it came from nothing. And as far as I could tell, it wasn't off the footmarks. It was off the flat of the pitch. That's what he can do. He can rip the ball and he can get it to bounce. And it's a shame. It would have been interesting to see what he would have done in a fourth day wicket, but he hasn't bowled as well. He bowled, what, one decent spell on the first morning. And since then, I've been a little bit disappointed with him.
Lol of the day.
Well, I mean,
it can't be Darwin because he was hit in the face. Give you my lol of the day.
No.
Mine's going to be the fact that Joe Root has managed not to convert another 50 to 100 this time by declaring, which I think is a new wrinkle in the Joe Root saga that we have all lived through for so long.
It was a golden day for lol moments, actually. I thought that De Silva falling over, if you hadn't mentioned it earlier, when trying to complete that stumping, and the way that the commentators go, oh, he took the ball brilliantly, it was technically excellent, did so well, but then just fell over.
And missed the stumps. He fell over and missed the stumps.
Fell over and then just missed the stumps. He was reaching. You know, he must have missed it. That was a lol moment. I thought Dominic Sibley, you know, a bit like in the second test match when him and Stokes. In fact, it wasn't quite as bad as that, because, you know, Sibley had Rory Burns at the other end. It looked even worse in the second test match when, you know, the message had gone out there. Okay, lads, you got your hundreds. Now trying to, you know, up the tempo. Stokes just goes, oh, okay, then, and just ups the tempo. And Sibley says, I cannot play like this. And the same thing happened again today. There was one of the ugliest heaves. Well, it wasn't even a heave. It was an attempted heave over mid-wicket against a spinner from Dominic Sibley, which just... He probably travelled about 33 centimetres. That certainly made me laugh. And I know we shouldn't laugh, but I'm going to mention it. But the umpire's getting the baby wipes out and rubbing the ball after Darwin had been hit, I thought, was slightly humorous to watch. I couldn't work out whether they were wiping away blood, which obviously is not funny at all, or... you know, just some dribble or something. Because, of course, in COVID-19 restrictions days, that's what they've got to do.
Yeah, I'm a little bit disappointed in you as a father that you don't know that baby wipes don't sanitize things. So it couldn't be baby wipes. It would have to be another product that had a sanitizer built in. And I'm not disappointed in you as a cricket commentator or as a man, but just as a father.
There's a lot of disappointment today from you, Jared.
I'm not angry. No, I am angry. I'm not sure what I am. I hate these third innings, as I said. We talked about it yesterday. They're just so pointless. I mean, England couldn't even be funny. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, send out Butler. Let's just see what's going on. What would Wokesy do if he opened today? I was so bored that I was looking at the history of New Zealand opening batsmen. And then I ended up in a wormhole to work out why Danny Morrison once opened in a test. God, my references have gone further back. What is going on with me?
Hey, that was another section we used to do. What did you look at? What did you look at the cricket when you were getting bored? That was a good section. We're definitely bringing that one back.
Another section that you had was what's the most random Danny Morrison fact you can come up with? Oh, God. What have we done? See, these days, they're horrible, John. This is what they make you do. This is what they make you do. Anyway.
Do you know what's going to make you feel better?
Tell me.
Anodyne press conference moment of the day.
Rory Burns, who looks a little bit like a musketeer with his long hairband. No, he doesn't. He's like Johnny Depp with goatee. Oh, you probably don't want to look like Johnny Depp at the moment. Well, anyway, Rory Burns spoke after play.
Nice to play some different shots. I normally reserve them for some 2020 practice and those sort of things. So, nice to open up a little bit there. But obviously, you know, the way Siv set a platform there with me and then how Brody came in and played, we obviously put ourselves in a good position. That's the most pleasing thing.
What is going to happen tomorrow?
What's going to happen tomorrow, Jared? I know what's going to happen tomorrow. Even though my motto in life is never believe the weather forecast, I'm going to tip rain all day in Manchester on day four.
I haven't looked at the weather forecast, to be honest. It's weird not being at the ground. I'm in my own, I'm in a smaller bubble, a micro bubble. So I haven't looked at the weather. So let's forget about that for a minute. Who's playing?
Danny Morrison.
You're Jared.
Tom Moody.
Who's playing? West Indies are playing. They will lose tomorrow if it doesn't rain. That's all we need to say, isn't it, really? Let's be honest.
Yeah, we don't have to try and be clever now.
When were we trying to be clever?
Oh, yeah, that was when you were away. You're right. That's it. I mean, even if it doesn't happen day four, it's going to happen on day five. England are going to wrap up victory. Stuart Broad will reach wicket number 500. And Jofra Archer will get Shane Dowrich out, probably. And that's about it. That's a bit of a sad ending. A bit of a disappointing ending, some would say, Jared, to today's podcast.
Today's podcast or the test series?
Both, actually. But we can leave the disappointment for the ending of the test series to day four or five. Let's ring this out as long as possible. And, of course, the Cricket Collective, 6 till 7 on Tuesday as well. You could be really disappointed for an hour there on TalkSport 2 with Harmy.
And me.
Yes. Mate, I'll let you get back to your micro bubble. Thanks for listening to Following on Podcasts, Acast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We will be back, even if there's rain all day, to talk about Shane Dowrich, no doubt. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.